Ask the Podcast Coach for November 8th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
It's Saturday morning. It's good to be back. We were gone last week, and I am thrilled to be here. Welcome to another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast answered live. And joining me as always, the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how are you?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Last Saturday of our high school internship program here at Gallup, so I'm one more time in the studios here. It's always good to be in the Gallup studios, so do ask the podcast coach with you. But back to TheAverageGuy.tv studios next Saturday.
There you go. And this week, we are using the Spreaker player on askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We were kind of wondering about this last week, and it does turn out that you can have your easy for me to say as I'm hitting buttons behind the scenes here.
Yes.
I can't talk and push buttons.
It is tough to multitask that way.
You can put a button on your website and then have it automatically, when we go live, it should automatically update that.
And, yeah, that worked. Okay. Yeah, because I had said before, I didn't say you can't do it. I just said I didn't know how to do it. And so there's a little bit of code that when you're selecting the embed, you just say you want the most recent episode to be there. And it will automatically set to refresh whenever you put the player out there. So a great way to do it.
And we are at askthepodcastcoach.com/live if you're dialing in. And speaking of dialing in, hey, we've already got a caller. Check that out. So I'll hit talk here on the button. And ending in 7825, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
My name is Michael Ray, and I have a couple questions. One, I wanted to check this in-studio thing you got right here.
Okay.
I wanted to see how it sounded with a cell phone going down the highway in my semi. And it sounds pretty doggone good.
Well, that's okay. That's good to hear.
Yeah, because what I did was I'm from Omaha, and I left about 2 o'clock this morning, working right now. But I bought the mixer board, the one like what Jim has there. But I found that the iPad for me with Boss Jock is a lot easier. So I bought me a little iStudio thing to slide the iPad into, and I tried to figure out how to use Skype with it, but this in-studio might work with that iPad, and I just want to know if you guys think it might or might not.
When you say in-studio, is that that's an app then for the iPad?
Well, no, it's what you guys have for your in-studio call-in.
Oh, call-in studio. Well, you're going to need a mixer.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, there's no way around it. You're going to need a mixer, because when you have a guest, let me think about this before I go spouting out here. Can I do this without it? Yeah, because you need a phone. That's the one thing you need. So in my case, I'm using my I use a service. I'm trying to see the box. Well, I use Colin Studio, but then I was going to tie up my minutes for my cell phone, and I forget the name of the plug-in that you plug into the wall and it works. Hold on. I'll give you.
As Dave.
Hold on, Bob.
Dave.
I got Phil.
Dave just left the microphone.
That's right. It's Magic Jack, because I can't see the box. It's Magic Jack. So I it's like $29 a year. So I call in.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, so I call into Call-In Studio, and then I tie my cell phone, which is connecting via Wi-Fi, so I don't burn up my cell phone minutes, and I throw that into a channel. So you're in one channel, Jim's in the other channel, and I'm in the third channel, and then the iPad is in the fourth channel playing the music and such.
Okay.
So are you just starting out your podcast now?
Yeah, well, basically, I kind of got a page called FriarFlyer.com, mm-hmm. And it's like a town crier. And the reason why I made it like that right there, so I want to kind of get almost like newsletters, but like information on like like the one lady, the down and dirty tips or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was trying to maybe do something like that, link to her page, like almost make it like a drug report or a Yahoo or something, you know, to where I can just kind of put stuff. That's where I started first, and then I saw Daniel Ortega, and then you're one of my favorite ones to listen to because you have that kind of like that sense of humor is kind of like mine. You know?
You're so sick and twisted. All right, but, excellent.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I am. Well, I like it, you know. But the iPad with the Boss Jock is what I first started out with, and I like using that. But I see where I'm going to have to take that information there, put it in Dropbox, and put it up into like Audacity or something, and try to figure out Audacity on how to, take out or put in stuff still. So I'm still going to have to learn something like Audacity, which I'm still going to have to kind of do like I started out with.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm recording this directly. The fun-filled phrase is live to hard drive. And so everything I'm recording this and, the music and Jim and you, that's all going out of the mixer into a portable recorder. And if I did everything perfect, in theory, I could take this and throw it up on the web. Now, it's not. So I take it out and I throw it through a program called Auphonic, which then kind of levels out the volumes because right. and things like that. And then I throw it up on the web. So, yeah, I love Daniel Ortega is one of my favorites, man.
And he did that one show. It was like a two-parter with that guy that did that Alphonics or whatever, that levelizer.
Yeah.
You just talked about, I think he did some, yeah.
Yep.
And so I was listening to that, too, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that would help that part, you know. And then I think,
well,
Daniel J. Lewis was doing something like I can talk. I'm kind of like that Charles guy. I kind of put a few notes in front of me, and I just kind of ad lib and I go because I can't. I'm not disciplined enough to sit and write everything out. But yeah. I can't remember if it was you or Daniel J. Lewis, but one of you guys said something about I can't do web pages, so I might have to kind of outsource that.
You can do web pages.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, have you ever played a Microsoft Word?
Like, yeah, I have.
Then you can do Then you can do WordPress. There's a little bit. I'm not going to say it's exactly the same, but it's really close. You can WordPress is it's got a little bit of a learning curve, but you can handle it on your own. I'm telling you, that's what the School of Podcasting is all about. I don't want to turn it into a giant commercial, but it'll show you how to do all that stuff.
I've just been kind of trying to play with it.
So. Yeah, the reason I asked if this was your first podcast, and this is probably we're gonna watch Jim's head explode. Maybe. Jim's like, go live or go home. I'm like, you know what? You may not want to start live. You may want to start recording a couple episodes just to see what's involved. And then, once you get, the hang of the microphone and all that other fun-filled stuff, then throw live into the mix. Because I'm telling you, this morning I went to go live and I had to install the latest version of Flash to run Spreaker. And I was pulling out my hair behind the scenes. And then I had another cable. I moved the cable. It adds a little more complexity. And sometimes when you're just getting started, it may not be the best route because you might go, man, this is way too hard. Well, you've added live to the mix, and that's a little – it adds more fun-filled knobs to play with. I don't know. Jim?
So my first plan was
– go ahead.
My first plan was to get the Cryer Fire. Firefly, page up and mm-hmm. kind of go from there. So I did do your ATR 2100. So I think that's an excellent microphone. I got two extensions coming out, so I can kind of pull them forward myself. I bought. I'm a PC guy too, and I went to the Mac hockey puck, that little round thing, and it's a bit of a learning curve with that. But the coolest thing right now is I'm talking on my cell phone at work, going down the road. This is absolutely cool.
Fun. And you're in Omaha.
It blows me away. Well, I mean, I'm almost in Illinois now.
All right.
I'm getting right across the bridge. Yeah. So, I mean, I leave Omaha in the morning, 2 o'clock. I get in, fire the stuff up. I get, get the mail. I take it to Michigan. And this is just absolutely cool. And that's what, when I heard Daniel and I heard you talk about, like, you had one episode where, like, what have you did with your podcast. How much good is it doing, you know, other people and stuff? And I'm going to take, I already did one little podcast with my daughter on the iPad.
Cool.
It's a little funny skit we did, you know, so that kind of got, because I'm going to do a couple of things like that till I can figure a few of these things out, and then I'm just going to hit it hard. I make a mistake, oh well, you know. So
that's
but
it. Cross
I
it
really,
up.
I really enjoy your, show, and I really appreciate it. I'm going to let you guys get on to another subject. I don't want to tie this up too long, but I really, like I said, I really appreciate what you guys do. Really do.
All right. Well, Michael, thanks for calling in, buddy. Drive safe.
No problem. No problem. No.
All right. Good. Great
back
talking to you.
Day.
Good. Back in the day. I always love that. It's always fun to hear from a fellow Omaha listener as well. So Michael, thanks for calling in. You know, Dave, you talked about going live or going home. I do prefer live, but that's just a little bit of my own personality, and I've worked at live for 4 years, so it's not like I recommend live out the door. It is one of the hardest ways, and especially live with callers. That's insane. I mean, you did that before I did, and you know, I have tons of guests that come in, and that's a lot easier to do, but the whole call-in thing is still kind of difficult. I mean, it takes a little bit of a setup, and you got to be agile and on your feet and got to be monitoring, you know, like I've got all three chat rooms up right now that we're including four, if it's our private one that we do back and forth. It's you got to kind of be quick on your feet and be able to hold a conversation while doing something else at the same time.
All right. And I guess I'm going to go ahead
and hang him.
I'm going to drop Michael. Yeah. So there we go.
He got to hear me say all those nice things. So
there you go. Excellent. So, yeah, and we were, that's one of those things, you know, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't have fun because he said Daniel Ortega.
Yeah, it happens, though. You the triad, well, you guys just the triad get.
What did they call you the 1 week, though? Wasn't it, I forget what it was, but.
It's funny. I do these podcasts for Gallup, and we work hard at them, and they've been a labor of love for me. It's been one of those cool things where you can take your hobby to work, and so the other day, just yesterday, we got some feedback from a listener who sent in a nice note about what we're doing. And she was like, and I really appreciate those two guys on Called the Coach. That's the what we call that. Those two guys.
The two guys.
all the name branding that we do, and I am one of the two guys.
Guys. Excellent.
Yeah, that was a little bit. And even Michael Dell was saying this morning, he'd mentioned the show and forgot my name. And it's like, oh, it's all right. It's not that hard. Just remember Collision, and then it's Collison. That's the lot of people call me Jim Collision, because if you had an I, it looks like Collision.
Yeah. Chris in the chat room says, is taking calls more challenging without the ability to screen them? Well, I could screen them if I want to, but that's no fun. I get to have somebody call up and go, Baba Booey! I'm still waiting for that.
Baba Booey.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. It's just more screens to watch and all those fun-filled things. But speaking of calling in, we didn't even say that. If you want to call in, you can, just like Michael Ray did. 845-262-2401. That is 845-262-2401. And, the chat room, should we talk about Audello, Jim?
Yeah, go ahead. I haven't looked at it at all, but you can.
Audello, for those that are new to the Audello discussion, is from a guy named Josh Bartlett. He's a very famous, very successful internet marketer. Nothing wrong with that. I owned one of his products. That's one of the reasons why I actually went back to be an affiliate, because I thought, wow, this could be really, really cool. And they had a lot of claims, I guess we could say, that were maybe a little exaggerated, just a little. Like, you know, you can start a podcast and make six figures in, you know, 6 hours. Now, that might not have been exactly what they said. I think I'm exaggerating their exaggeration, but it was crazy. So I sat down, I bought it with the intent, because I asked them, I go, can I get like a 3-day pass? And they said no. And I'm like, okay. So I put out the money. They said, just ask for a refund. If you
How much
like,
is
okay.
it?
It's $200.
Ooh, so not
yeah,
sure.
and I went, gee, okay. So I was not happy. Well, you know, I get it. Whatever. So I do it. I download it. I still cannot get the software to run, period. And their web interface is interesting. But the thing that was driving me crazy was they're like, you can schedule posts in advance. And I'm like, okay, well, you can do that with WordPress for free. And then it was like, you can, you know, all this other stuff. It was like, look, you can make a playlist. I'm like, and I'm showing in this video, if somebody could grab the video, I'll find it. You know, I'm like, look, you can do this in WordPress 6.0. And the actual guy, Josh Bartlett, came on. And the thing that was fun about the video is at the end of it, I'm explaining how, here's something else you can do. Oh, and they say, oh, well, you can record with an app. And I'm like, you mean like Boss Jock Studio or Alphonic? Alphonic's free. You know, and I'm pointing out all this stuff. And as I go back to their front page, the page that the night before said I had, you know, less than a day to order it, now said I had 3 days to order it. And I popped a cork. If you want to get Dave Jackson mad, there's a very easy one-step process. Just lie to me. My wife will tell you there are times that I lacked tact and I'm a little too brutally honest. But on the other hand, I really appreciate it if somebody is brutally honest with me. And when you brutally lie to me, just blatantly, I just lost my cool. And I'm like, oh, liar and stupid internet marketer. This is, where's your integrity and things like that. So I have yet to finish. I'm still going through the software, trying to go through. I know on the Podcasters Roundtable, I got to talk to Daniel J. Lewis from the audacitytopodcast.com, and he's been playing with it, which I'm really, because you know Daniel. Daniel's going to do the deep dive, and he was saying he'd found some bugs as well. And yeah, so my update is it's still buggy. Haven't gone through the rest of it. I've actually, the one thing they have is you can put an audio bar at the top of your, you know, kind of like the hello bar from, what's his name? Seth Godin. So you have this floating bar at the top that you can click and people can play, but people can also click and leave you an audio message. And I'm like, oh, you mean like SpeakPipe that floats on the left or right side or bottom or top of your screen for $7 a month? So I just kept pointing out everything else. And so I haven't really gone through. Oh, the other thing was their pages, while completely customizable, I was really surprised that their default page was a mixture of blue and green. Now, I'm no fashion plate by any means, but the last time I checked, I don't think blue and green are really complementary colors. So they were kind of ugly. And so that's my review at this point was you can do all this stuff. You know, now one hand, do they have all that stuff under one roof? Absolutely. Is that worth $200? If you got $200 to blow, the thing that made me worried, and I haven't found this yet, is there's no 301 redirect. Because they show you how to, you know, how to submit the feed from their system to iTunes. Now, they do a good job. They don't submit it for you, so that's okay. But it's kind of like a feed burner then. You're giving... In some cases, you're importing your podcast and then submitting their feed. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm not completely against that as long as I can leave if I want to. And I've yet to see that. So I'm not a big fan of any system. That's why I like Blueberry and Libsyn is there's an easy way to leave. What else did I find over this? Daniel filled me in. I said you shouldn't let anybody submit your feed to iTunes. And apparently I don't know what I did once. I swear I had somebody that had a problem, and because they didn't own the feed, there was a problem. But what it is, it turns out, you know, it asks for an email address in the feed. You have to own that email address. Because if you think about it, Apple can send something to that email address, and if you reply to it, then they know that you're you. So technically you could have somebody else submit your feed to iTunes for you, and you could still basically get in touch with Apple to say, hey, here's the deal. I think
it's a good policy not to do that.
Yeah, like, it's yeah.
Own that feed yourself. Yeah, don't do that. Don't let somebody else do it for you.
Yeah, their terms of service were crap. That were when they first started out, were stating potentially that they owned your content. They have since gone back and because Todd put out a blog post, Cochran from Blueberry. And saying, no, that's in the chat room, they're asking, do you have to leave Libsyn or Blueberry? Well, number one, that's the thing I really thought was weird. They list SoundCloud and Amazon S3 and Libsyn as here are some hosts for you. No mention of Blueberry. I'm like, How come Blueberry can't get some love here? And why would you promote sound? Okay. Of course,
there are universal terms of service on the internet that says if you say Lipson, you have to say Blueberry.
I thought that last week.
You know, Lipson and Blueberry. That's right. That comes off like
it's the Batman and Robin of podcasting.
Exactly.
And so I thought that was kind of odd, but no. But then what you end up doing, this is the part I haven't done yet, is I'm not sure how, if you have to change the link on your website to. Like kind of like a PodTrack or a Blueberry, where you then have a redirect. Because according to them, you're going to be able to see when people drop off. Now, I did start to test that, but I don't know how often their stats update. But I didn't see anything at this point. But so it's one of those things where it's got some interesting tools. I just know right now it's buggy, and I need to play a little more. And it's one of the things that I was thinking about, and I'll probably talk about on the School of Podcasting is. You know, I've kind of dragged my audience through this Audello thing 3 weeks in a row now. And looking back, I probably should have just done my homework and, you know, bought it, even if I couldn't get a trial, done my research and come back. You know, because the first week I was like, this doesn't sound very good. And then the second week I'd signed up as an affiliate and got some behind-the-scenes stuff. And that's where I went, this really doesn't look good. And then I actually bought it and went, yeah, this isn't good. Where... You know, looking back, I'm like, you know, hindsight, I probably should have just, it's on one hand, it's a fun journey with Dave through the perils of Audello. But on the other hand, I'm like,
but this brings up an interesting point. I think when we talk about our responsibilities as a podcaster and that there is this drive, there is this temptation, especially in the tech side of things, to be the first, to have it out first, to talk about it without really, you know, measuring it, so to speak. We've gone back to a discussion, you and I have been talking about MediaFire for a while as an option, and I've just thrown it out there. I didn't say I was ready to recommend it yet. I'm still messing with it. I've been on it for 8 or 9 weeks now. We've been testing some things out, you know, and that's one of those things. It's good if you can let it bake a little bit. I mean, talk about it, certainly, but it's that, do I recommend it? Well, I think it takes a good 9 to 12 weeks on something to really get all the bugs worked out, figure out it's going to work for you. But there is that temptation. You see something, and you're like, oh, cool. I just found this. This is really cool. And that gets, you know, as an example, and I'll thank Daniel for digging in because he dug into this. And I kind of knew this as we were talking about it. But with MediaFire, so $25 a year. You get a terabyte of storage space out there and 10 terabytes of bandwidth that actually have rollover. It's like rollover minutes there. So if in a month I only use 5, they're going to roll 5 over to the next month and I'm going to have 15 terabytes, which that's a lot of space. I'm up to almost 30 terabytes there now of bandwidth on that I can share with people. So, but they don't give you a unique URL to use when you are loading up your media. So you go there, you upload your media. You get the download link. It's going to say MediaFire.com/ and then a bunch of numbers, right? They're just randomly generated numbers, /, in your show name. And there'll be a folder in there if you have folders on your website as well. That's not handy if you ever have to change. So if you go back, because you're going to copy and paste that into WordPress to make that part of your feed. If you ever want to change or move away from MediaFire, you're going to have to go in and change every single one of those. So full disclosure right on that, you're going to have to do that. Now, I've chosen to use it for my video large and video small. That was just because I wanted to try the service out. I wanted to be on, you know, I like you, Dave, I force myself on a platform so that I have to use them so that I can talk about them, right? One of those kinds of things. For the beginning podcaster, if you're looking for an inexpensive way to do this, this might be MediaFire might be an option for you at $25 a year. That's some of the cheapest storage out there. And when your bandwidth usage is small, that might work great. Caveat emptor on the backside, if you go to move away from MediaFire, this is where it's unlike a Blueberry or a Lipson. Notice I changed those around. They're going to give you a direct URL that's not going to change, and so you can get access
easily
to
do a find and replace.
So it's more of a challenge that way. I just full disclosure, just want to throw that out there as well. Thanks to Daniel who went back and forth early in the week on a Twitter conversation as he dug into it a little bit. And I'm like, yep, that's the way it is. Otherwise, I've had great luck with them. And they've been a great source when I'm sharing it's a great alternative to Dropbox. Let me just say that. If you don't like Dropbox, you don't like what they're doing there, it's a great alternative to Dropbox. Mediafire.com.
Yeah, I sent out an email to a company I had never heard of till I heard them in the Audello case. You know, they have these case studies, of course, which are it's John Lee Dumas. It's a couple other guys that are all somewhat friends and buddies, which, you know, Simplecast.fm just found out about them. $12 a month for unlimited everything. And I'm like, wait a minute, that can't be right. And so I have an email into them, and it's going to be one of those things where, again, simplecast.fm, where it's not like $12 a month for no contracts, no commitments, no worries, $8 a month for each additional podcast, yearly pricing at $120 a year. And I'm like, okay, but how much do you get? And it's kind of like, you know, sign up and get started, and it's like $12 a month. And I'm like, for what? Like, what do I get? It just says, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. And I'm like, well, that's what I'm looking for, but it's...
That's worth a try. You never
know. Yeah, I was like, all right.
Dig in and try it.
Well, that's one of the things that I started thinking of. And actually, Ray and Daniel and I were talking about this. You know, we're kind of... And I know you're... Jim, you're kind of like this way. We have to be careful not to go, there's only one way to podcast.
Right.
You know, and so it was like, I think Ray had the best line. He said, get off my lawn. It's like you have to be open to, you know, there are going to be new platforms. Somebody may come along with something that's so cool and so easy and so simple that you're like, man, if you want a podcast, go use, you know, this guy's system. It makes the RSS feed. It makes you coffee and, you know, pancakes in the morning. It's awesome. And haven't found that yet, but we are going to have to kind of be open-minded. And so I always tell people when I, like, the Simplecast, I'm like, all right, well, I have my little criteria. You know, don't mess with my file. Don't mess with my ID3 tags. And what I upload, I download. And
Dave, I think for a lot of podcasters, I've always appreciated the fact that you've got those six, I think there's six rules that you have or six that you laid out. Mm-hmm. You're like, here are the six things that I'm looking for, and you've held to those. And I think that's different for everybody. So I would encourage, as a podcaster, you come up with, as you're thinking about this, and media hosting is just one of those areas. There's a lot of things. You say, when I'm measuring or when I'm looking at something, these are the four, five, six things, and use it like a rubric, right? Throw that service in there. Does it do this? Yes or no? Or, you know, how well does it do that? Give it a golf score. And let that, you know, let it go through the criteria. You're really good about just making sure that, hey, don't mess with my file. And, you know, I've heard you roll through those things. And that's just really good as a podcaster to have.
Well, that's because I've had people say, well, you're just a blueberry and, you know, Lipson, you're just a stooge, whatever. And I'm like, well, number one, I promoted them way before they had an affiliate program. And number two, you know, if this, whatever the name of it was, Simplecast, if that meets the criteria, here's option number three. And I always say, you know, I like Spreaker. The only thing, and it's, you know, it's teeny. They give you basically, I think it's 5 years of storage, which is probably plenty for most people, but it's not unlimited. And they've gone through. I got an update on my website. I had a thing, an old post that said, if you import the, your feed into Stitcher, they used to mess with your files and a bunch of other stuff, and Francesco, who's the CEO over there, politely said, we don't do this anymore. You know, we don't mess with your stuff. So I'm like, all right. So they've gone through my checklist. If they can just make that one unlimited storage, I'll be like, there you go. And at this point, I don't, if somebody's on it, I don't go, oh, you need to leave. You know, it's like, okay, it's good. Just realize that after 5 years, depending on how long your show is, of course, if it's an itty bitty show, you'll have more than 5 years. You'll have to start swapping files out and things like that. But
I just saw somebody on Google Plus, I think it was, say, I'm leaving SoundCloud because it was all these things that we've kind of been talking about. You know, if they would have gone through your checklist against SoundCloud, they would have seen, okay, here's some of the reasons why you don't necessarily want to make that your main feed, you know, based on your criteria. So I think we're going to see more, you know, probably early next year, we're going to see people coming out saying, oh, I can't do this with that, or get this done here, or get that done there. I have been impressed with Spreaker and the way they're responding to to the community. Man, we say, oh, we don't like this, and the next week, boom, it's fixed. And they're working hard over there. That's pretty respectable. I like where they're going. And I get good quality listens on Spreaker. I mean, I get people who are using it on the app, who are listening to it online. You know, we've gone to Mixlr for a lot of what we do, but I get some good quality. And I'm using Spreaker's RSS feed for iTunes. So I chose at Gallup, we chose to use Spreaker kind of as they're going to be the main host for us for a while. And using their RSS feed for iTunes, and it works great. I mean, we haven't had, so far, we're about 3 weeks into it. So it's not like we've been doing it for months and months and months, but it's worked great. And they get pretty good stats. You know, you can tell who's downloaded it, who's listened to it live, who's listened to it on iHeartRadio, and who's downloaded it. Maybe I said that already. But you get some pretty good statistics. And so you can see in my numbers, in my Spreaker numbers, where all of a sudden, boom, the RSS feed kicks in and my downloads just rocket. By the way, I'm not paying for any of that bandwidth, right?
Because you're on iHeartRadio?
It's on Spreaker. No, it's on Spreaker, right? I upload it to Spreaker. There, when somebody downloads it now, they're downloading it from Spreaker.
Yep.
So because I have the big service and I don't pay because I'm on iHeartRadio. It's a weekly podcast. So again, we would traditionally say, don't make that your main feed. I've gone against that a little bit for Gallup, and we are using them as our main feed. So far, so good. You know, our experience has been good with Spreaker so far.
From the chat room, I love this, Chris. Using SoundCloud from the start is like someone starting to smoke in 2014. You know it's bad for you. You shouldn't do it, but people still do. Yeah, I had somebody this week that said, hey, my feed doesn't look right in iTunes, and I kind of reverse engineered it, and I'm like, wow, you're using, like, they just started and they're using FeedBurner. And I was like, all right, it's not a horrible choice. There are better choices, though. And it's like, gads. So, but again, you got to watch the whole, you know, there's only one way to podcast.
So it's kind of what works for you, right? It's just one of those things. Like, we're here just to help. And to throw out, hey, this is what we've tried, and this is kind of what works well. But, you know, from microphones to mixers, lately it seems like mixers have become the holy grail of equipment, right? It's like, oh, unless you're on using this, whatever that is, you know, you just can't do anything unless you're doing it this way. And you know what? I've seen some guys do some and gals do some pretty creative things with some equipment where you go, wow, that's interesting. How did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah.
You
know? Well, that and I'm pretty sure changing your mixer is not going to get you any more listeners.
Yeah.
Unless your audio is really bad. It's like, I don't know about
listeners.
That.
Yeah. There was another thread going around this week about, you know, I think it was on the Facebook group about getting on all the directories. You even addressed this, I think. And it's just like, come on, guys. At the end of the day, getting new listeners is about hustling. And how do you hustle? How are you getting out there? How are you working it? Who are you connecting with? You know, having the right material with you. I was at Microsoft's MVP Summit all week in Redmond, Washington, and I was running into all kinds of people that I didn't meet before. And I just have little averageguy.tv cards, you know? And so as people ask, I'm just like, here you go. If you want to have a listen. And I probably picked up a few listeners this week. You know, you pick them up one at a time. That's kind of the way you get it done. Randy Cantrell, who's usually in the chat room. I don't see him out there today, but Randy from leaningtowardswisdom.com. Randy did an episode. He just asked flat out. He's trying to grow his audience, and he just said, hey, share it with two or three people. And I shared it on one of my podcasts, and I actually shared it with a guest host, and that guest host came back around and started listening to Randy. I saw him post in the Facebook group, and I thought that was Chris Pallon, by the way, from dadadrenaline.com. And it's kind of cool, right? We just circled around. There's three guys. We all listen to each other's podcasts. I never listened to Chris or Randy before, you know, just a couple months ago. And those kinds of relationships are a big deal. And then it can kind of spread out from there. But, you know, the magic of it, even with a Dumas or a Michael Hyatt or a Leo Laporte, I mean, Laporte's podcast grew like wildfire because people were telling other people, hey, have you listened to Windows Weekly or have you listened to This Week in Tech or, you know, whatever that is. And so that's the way you grow an audience is you got to have great content and then hustle.
That's it. It's like this podcast called Startup. You know, I've had like six people ask me, have you listened to this yet? And I think that's going to be the next wave. I think we're going to have people, maybe, because he does like extreme produced storytelling. The guy must walk around nonstop with an RO5 just going.
I know. It's NPR style.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And I would say that would be a wave coming, but man, does it take a long time to do a show like that.
Yeah, you got to be in that. You have to be in that for the long haul. I mean, and you got to be really good at scripting and storytelling. And I mean, NPR does it better than anybody. I mean, some of the stuff, Radiolab, that I listen to from time to time.
Yeah.
Wow, that is good, right? Yep. I mean, that is just, and not saying this, the other stuff I listen to. You know, some of the other things I listen to when I listen to podcasters about podcasting and that kind of stuff. That's all really good stuff too, but man, that's really produced very well. And that's kind of where, you know, we used to say, well, quality, you know, people are willing to forgive it. I think we're getting away from that a little bit as we bring more of the average consumer into podcasting. The average consumer is going to be pickier. And so they're going to demand really good quality and excellence. And, you know, they're not going to settle for whatever they're not looking for. Type deal. You know what I'm saying? They're just going to get pickier.
Yeah. Well, Chris has a question. He's saying, no rules, just right. What works for you and your audience and your content? He goes, is there a wrong? And this is where, when I had Cliff on my show, he said, there are no rules on podcasting. And I'm like, okay, that's true. But I think there are best practices, you know. So I don't know that there's, you know, I like if I use, I don't know, my website for my media host, is that wrong? It is when you get busted and you run out of bandwidth. You go, that was a bad decision. Does that mean you can't do that? No, you can. You know, I can go play in traffic if I want to. Is it wrong? Well, not really until I get hit and die. So it's one of those things that you know, you can kind of – we just try to – my whole thing and what got me pulled into the whole Audello thing in the first place is they were just making these outlandish – you know, this is how these people are making, you know, they're a living with their podcast. I'm like, you know what? That's not a lie, but it's also not the norm. It can be done, but don't paint the picture that all you got to do is talk into a microphone and the money will just, you know, manna from heaven will fall. And I'm like, that's not the truth. So,
but I'm always surprised at the people then who fall for that, right? The same people that are the picky listeners then jump in and are like, yeah, I'm going to be doing this. And, you know, these things come in wave. These marketing campaigns, you know, I mentioned Amway. I mean, that's just a classic example of, you know, get your friends in, get this done, referrals, those kinds of things. And, you know, yeah, there are no rules. Can you sell lemonade from the corner and, you know, on your street from the corner? Yeah. Is it going to be $1 million enterprise if you work hard at it? Boy, the chances go down because it's not scalable, right, from that standpoint. And so there are some things that people have done that make it simpler and better and more manageable and more scalable and those kinds of things. So, yeah, there are no rules. If you want to create your own stuff, just do it, right? Now, the question is how do you measure success? And I think that's the key, right? What's your measurement of success?
Well, the interesting thing was I was in Audello, they have these case studies, and one is John Lee Dumas, and he says, when I started, he goes, I was the only 7-day-a-week, and I thought I was going to catch him because he wasn't the only 7-day-a-week podcast, doing interviews of entrepreneurs. I'm like, well, that's true, at least as far as I know. But he said, and that was new then.
Dave, one of the things I did this week, I was a little off on my timing since I was out of town. Typically, I do my Average Guy newsletter the very first of the month, and I drop that into MailChimp and schedule it for you know, an email friendly time that just came out here during the show, 10 o'clock this morning. But it was fun to be on the road. I wrote that letter while I was, you know, I had a lot of time on the train and a lot of time on the plane as I was, you know, I did both trains and planes for this last trip. And it was just a handy time to recoup, you know, when you're traveling. It's a great time. And I don't know about you, but for me, whenever I'm traveling, I get very philosophical. And so I'll be sitting on the plane and you're kind of separated from life and you're disconnected and your brain gets this opportunity to kind of breathe, you know. It gets a chance to think. And so recapture, if you're a podcaster, recapture some of that travel time to sit down, write some notes, do some writing. On the flights, I didn't have Wi-Fi, which was probably a good thing. And I just wrote. And so I got my newsletter done and I got that all prepped and I got some One of the other things I do on my site is every time for Ask the Podcast Coach, I drop a note on my site saying I was on Ask the Podcast Coach, or I made weekly web tools last week. So it's just a good idea in a way to get some things done.
Here's something every podcaster should do. And I was surprised because I was listening to, shockingly, podcast about podcasts. And I'm not going to call him out, but there was a podcast that came on that literally rumbled my car. Like, it's cool to have the bass boost to make it sound big and warm, but it was like, and then just, then when I went into other genres, I know Ray from podcasterstudio.com has talked to the guy from Mophonic and things like it. There is, if you start listening to a wide range of podcasts, volume levels are all over the place, and the whole boost up the bass thing to make it sound cool, you know, it was weird. They had boosted the bass and the treble to the point where the treble was kind of hard because I had to turn it up because, you know, I'm in a car. And it's funny. You turn up the GPS because you can't hear it. But anyway, I would recommend listen to your podcast and then listen to a couple other ones to see. And that's where I think we're going to – everybody's talking about lufs. In fact, Michael Dell, the podcast help desk, was talking about that a little bit. And I didn't really, care too much about it, but man, the one show came on and it was like they had the Heil PR40 and probably a DBX whatever the heck mine is, because I know when I first started using my DBX, I just went crazy with the bass boost, and you can kind of overdo it with that, and it was big and shiny and boomy and clear, but I was like almost too much there. So
Mike Howard and I sat down 2 weekends ago, and he kind of showed me how to set that at that 16 dB level that they're kind of recommending for everyone at this point, that we try to get to the 16. And so in Audition, I do my editing in Audacity, and then I drop it out as a AIF file, and then I pull that in to Audition, and I run some things on it in Audition that that help me. And then there's some additional, and I'm not going to walk through it, but I'm starting to mess with that to try and get all my – at least everything produced from this point on to those standards, just so that it's level and even for everybody coming in.
Because normally what I do is I run things. I run my voice through a gate, and then I run the whole, not a gate, but a compressor. And then I have the master, when I actually mix it down, run it through another compressor. Just to, it's like nothing's going above -6 on my show, which is sometimes a little overkill. And like I said, when I first started with my DBX, I really overdid it with the big bottom or whatever the heck they call the one knob. And you turn it on, you're like, oh, this is cool. I sound like a big radio DJ guy.
But now, -16. The -16 lufs is the standard that we're talking about there.
Right.
So thanks for the – Mike, thanks for the correct terminology. I think I said DB. The what's interesting, though, in all this is so that we're as podcasters, we're all going to set, or we're going to try to do this, but YouTube is going to be different, and the stuff I listen to off my phone is going to be different. And so I'm always monkeying with that volume setting anyway. Right. So I'm not sure getting us all in line and in standards is going to do that much for the end user. I mean, I still think they're going to have, yes, they're going to have situations where they're flipping from podcast to podcast and it might be different, but I find such different standards all around the web. I don't know if it's going to make that much of a difference this early.
Yeah.
In the game.
Is the DBS hard to set up for a non-geek? It's anything, whether it's a compressor, I'm going to really oversimplify this. Here's how you set them up. You plug in your headphones, you plug in your microphone, and you tweak a knob and go, what does that do? And then you tweak another knob, what does that do? And you tweak the knobs until you hear something you like. Is that way too over? I mean, that's because in a nutshell, that's what I end up doing a lot of times.
Just got a handful of knobs on it, right? I mean, it's just a matter of this is something. I mean, again, good practice, right? Is when you get new equipment, test the crap out of it. I mean, you really got to spend some time getting, don't unpackage it, put it in place, and then try and do a podcast an hour later. You know, you need to spend some time with that thing. And every time I get a new piece of equipment, I call my buddy Mike and say, hey, you got a few minutes? And we just chat. And it's understood we're not necessarily chatting for friendly sake that we're testing some things, but we always find some good stuff to talk about. And he'll be monkeying, hey, can you hear this? Can you hear that? You know, what about this? How does that sound? Is this better than that? You know, type deal. I just felt like I was at the eye doctor there for a second.
Better this way, better that way.
Number one, number two. Number one, number two. So, but it's good to have that. It's good to have that person to bounce that off of and who has an ear for it, right? I mean, not everybody has an ear for it either. So it's good to have a friend who knows what you're up against.
Yeah.
Maybe who's done it before. And we kind of, Dave, I don't know about you, but Mike and I kind of leapfrog each other. So for a while, I'll be doing a bunch of new stuff and he'll be learning from me. And then I'll stop and then he'll do a bunch of new stuff and I'll be learning from him. And it just kind of depends on the mode in it and the mood and all those kinds of things.
Coming up quick on an hour.
No, it went fast.
I'm dying to know. If anybody wants to call in just to shout out your website address, I want to make sure the phone's fine. It's going to drive me nuts. It's 845-2...
Go ahead.
845-262-2401. First person to call in wins a cheese straightener.
And yeah, I want you to say Baba Booey when you come
yeah.
in. So no one has said Baba Booey yet.
You can be the first person.
We've been doing this a year now, I think, and nobody said Baba Booey.
Yeah, I'm really surprised nobody's called in.
I'm kind of disappointed that they haven't said Baba Booey.
Yeah, I've had people do that with like a hangout where you'll just have people come in and go, what are you talking about? Oh, that's, you know, that sucks, right? That guy shows up. You're like, oh, great, wonderful. Oh, and they're coming in droves now. This is yes. cool. We have a giant queue now. See, I should do that more often. I should
Lightning
offer
round.
Free cheese straighteners
well,
to everyone.
What you should say is there's only 5 minutes left. And when those five right. minutes are over, say there's only 5 minutes left.
Yeah. Ending in 4869. What's your name and what's your question or what's your website?
Maybe it is Dave Jackson. As the clock is ticking.
You know what it was?
Did you get unplugged?
Okay, ending in 4869. My chair unplugged it.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to put money on that. Okay. Ending in 4869.
Hey, David.
There you go.
Lightning
David
round.
And the other guy, what's up?
Boom.
That's it. What it was, just to show you the behind the scenes here. Here's my chair, right? Here's the phone.
Oh.
And here's the cable. And
yeah,
what happened,
you can't do that.
Yeah, and so what happened was when I turned my chair, it grabbed that cable and just unplugged it.
All right, who's on the line?
It's Chris from the chat room. What's up, Dave and the other guy?
Dave and the other guy. All right. Well,
I like that.
Now that this works, so Chris, what's your website?
It's chrisnessy.com, and I run the podcast House of EdTech.
Excellent. So, well, thank you for helping us troubleshoot the phone. Did you have a question before I... run back to Mike in the chat room who actually called five times earlier.
Well, first I wanted to call and make sure that you could accept calls, so I'm glad I helped you guys figure that out.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
I wanted to drop, I've been listening to the back catalog of this show, so here's your Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Excellent. We've done that now.
And I just had a quick... and my question was about actually newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
And... How do you know if your audience would, I guess, warrant or have the need to have you send out a newsletter? And regardless of your podcast topic, what is the purpose of the newsletter in your guys' opinion? And I will hang up and I will listen to you guys do that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Hey, well, I mentioned newsletters earlier, and I resisted newsletters for a long time. I thought, nobody does that anymore. And when I opened it up, everybody kept saying the money's in the list. And so I thought, well, I'll try it out. And so I used MailChimp. You could use AWeber for the same thing. I opened that up. And the purpose of my newsletter is just a monthly summary. So, hey, here's what's going on in the network. And, you know, if you ever want to contact me, here's a way to do it. It's just a monthly reminder. I got positive feedback right away from that. I had people say, look, I'm not on social media. I don't do Twitter. I don't do Facebook. I appreciate you sending me this and giving me the option to subscribe to it or not. And so that the purpose of the newsletter can be anything you want. I just use it to keep all the links. I write in the very top, I write a personal note to everybody, personal being to the, you know, one note for the whole newsletter. And then I add all the links that I want. Hey, you know, come out. Here's the Amazon affiliate link. Here's how to subscribe. Here's all these things in there. And it's just a nice monthly reminder. So that's what I like for the newsletter, Dave.
It is getting whatever you want one click away from your audience is the biggie there. So when you're listening to this podcast, you might be on a treadmill, you might be in the grocery store, you might be in the shower. I actually listen to podcasts now in the shower. And it's kind of hard to click on something when you're in the shower. But if you're reading the email, here's a click right here. And now you can subscribe to iTunes. You can go to my technically, I don't think you're allowed to put Amazon links in an email. We'd have to research that one.
No, you cannot.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yep.
And so
now you can put your affiliate link in there. You just can't. You're not supposed to put the direct links in your
yeah.
So you could be wrong on that too. I better check.
So you could put a link to like a landing page where you talk about the product that has your affiliate link that they then order.
Yeah, I have to check on that.
Something like that. Hey, yeah. We're gonna call back our buddy Mike. So ending in 9118, we're gonna get right to you. But being that Mike called like five times today, we're calling him back, and we'll see if this works. Because we're calling his cell phone. He's probably like, what is that weird number on my phone? And it says it's calling.
He's already given up on us. He's all pissed.
Hello?
There he is. The one, the only Mike. This is Dave and
Holy
Jim.
Cow.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks so much.
Man, you guys took me out of the shower. You know that, don't you? I'm standing here butt naked.
Yes. More information than we needed to know.
Ripping all off me. I know. You know, I'm just here to share. So I did everything I was supposed to do.
My apologies.
I have to tell you, I saw your video the other day, and then I heard you talking about it today with your review of, is it called Odello or whatever? And yeah. I am devastated, Dave. I am absolutely devastated that I can't send them a bunch of money and go talk on my microphone and immediately start making a living. What is up with that?
I know.
It's on the internet. It must be true. You're crushing my dreams.
I'm sorry.
We're dream crushers here. That's what
I'm
going to
put that on my business card. Dave Jackson, Dream Crusher. Welcome to the Dream Crusher podcast.
You're just crushed.
Is that domain available? Dreamcrusher.com.
If it isn't, I'm buying it right now.
It's a race.
Yeah, well, you know, I want you to know I'm excited about podcasting. I have a silly podcast. It's my radio show, which I podcast. I have two questions for
okay.
you. Okay. Okay. If you go to my YouTube channel, Michael Kroos, you will see a review I did on there. But I want to know what you think. Have you ever heard of mypodcastworld.com?
I have not. Let's go take a look at it. My podcast world. Do I get to make lots of money in 4 weeks?
No. As a matter of fact, I ran into this guy probably in 2005. I used to have a silly podcast on Podomatic. And this guy was on Podomatic. And I used to listen to his business podcast. He's from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to listen to his business podcast on Podomatic back when I was doing silly things on Podomatic. And this is like 2005. Well, then I stopped doing stuff on Podomatic. Then all of a sudden, a friend of mine, he said, well, who does your podcast hosting? And, you know, I said, well, I'm going to the big boys. I'm having it done there. I'm paying $20 a month. He goes, oh, no. You got to try this. It's free. I went there, and, you know, I really didn't want to be serious with my Home and Garden Radio podcast because it was just, you know, recordings of my radio show, which the radio network, by the way, was really mad that I was making a podcast out of because they're radio people. And I had to go through all kinds of, jump through all kinds of hoops from them, and I don't own the content. They own the content. So anyway,
nice.
I used my podcast world to slap it up there. And by golly, it's free. And whenever something goes wrong, I send the guy an email. He immediately emails me back, and he has his child labor programmers from, you know, wherever they're at, Philippines or wherever, fix it and make improvements, and he does it, and it's free. And I made a video. I did a little review on it. And by the way, their stats are really good. You can, you know, find a little map of where all your podcasts are. And I was absolutely surprised. I do no promotion for Home and Garden Radio podcast at all since it's been made clear to me that I don't own it. And it's here, you know, people are downloading it in China. People are downloading it in the Philippines. People are downloading it all over the place, which is silly.
Well,
but I was just wondering if, you know, it's just there. And I asked him, I said, why aren't you charging for this? He says, I don't know. I did it. He puts his own podcast up on it.
Well, that'll stop, just for the record. I mean, unless this guy is a bazillionaire, he's using Amazon services, which means he's probably using S3. And S3 is super mm-hmm. cheap when you start, but when you get a lot of back catalog, and in this case, if he's adding everybody's back catalog, that's going to add up. And unless this is, you know, somebody with lots of money to burn, the website at the front is interesting because it says 2009, mypodcastworldall.com, all rights reserved. So,
yeah,
but you know, it is what it is.
I have a friend who sticks all kinds of stuff up there.
Yeah.
You know, I just stick one silly show a week up there.
Yeah. I would just say I've buyer beware. I've seen lots of free podcasts come and I've seen a lot of them go. Cause in the end, somebody's paying for something that bandwidth is not free. Somebody's going to pay for it and either they're going to run ads on it or if they don't do that, you know, they're going to run out of seed money and eventually die. It's you know, so it may work, but I'm just letting you know that from my experience and my opinion, this can't last forever. There's a teacher in high school that always said there are no free lunches. Somebody's paying for that food somewhere.
Yeah, there's nothing lasts forever, Dave. Nothing lasts forever.
So, but
I figure if you want to make a podcast and you want to experiment like I have done, you know, with this, I just basically use that as an experiment. Okay. And there it is. Now, where you host your podcast on,
Libsyn and Blueberry.
Where do you have yours at?
Libsyn and Blueberry.
Yeah, I've got a Libsyn account that I've been paying for. Mm. I don't have anything up there. I think I stuck a couple of Home and Gardens up there in the initial, but then I stuck it on here because I was using up all my space on my $20 a month Libsyn when I started putting some of these back issues of Home and Garden up.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I don't want to waste my Libsyn on Home and Garden because I'm planning another podcast that I intend to launch on the first of the year, a real niche one that I hope to, make money off of. Who knows? But I'm, you know, planning on that. But I just did that. Now, my next question is, and I'll use my Libsyn for that, but I figure if you're out and you want to try podcasting and you want to experiment, that My Podcast World is a great place to go do it. You can, you know, it does everything that the big boys do for free, and you can get experience, and you can slap it up on iTunes, and it's all, you know, there and square, and everything's wonderful. So there it goes. Have you ever heard of a podcaster from Orlando by the name of Scott Smith? How's that for a name?
Scott Smith. The name rings a bell. If I remember right, he is the guy. Oh, what's the name of the service he does? Business podcasting.
Well, he has three podcasts daily. They're all 9 minutes long. One is on business. One is motivation to move.
Oh, there
website.
He is. That's it. Motivation to Move. Yes, I'm well aware of Scott Smith. I used to listen to Motivation to Move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I subscribed for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I was paying $39 a month. And by the way, I was finding it all to be well worth the $39 a month to listen to his three pie. Well, I didn't listen to the physical fitness one, and I should have. But I listened to the motivation, and I listened to the business one. And I really love his model of 9 minute podcasts, which is what I'm planning to do. But I have to tell you, I was listening, I canceled him. I broke up with Scott.
Okay.
And I sent him a long email explaining why I broke up with him. And he was so compassionate and nice, he wrote me back. But on one of his business podcasts, he said, he was heading over to Daytona Beach for Biketoberfest on his Harley. And he was just going along, and this is how judgmental am I. He said on there, but I have to have three beers before I get on my Harley because you can't get on a Harley unless you have three beers. And as soon as I heard that, it was like a paradigm shift in my head. I don't know why, and I, you know, who am I to be judgmental? But at that point in time, I just said, okay, anything that this guy says does not mean anything to me anymore. And I immediately canceled my subscription with him and wrote him a nice long email explaining it. He wrote me a very nice long email back But you know, they was just gone there. The magic was gone when he said that. And I'm probably wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
Oh, it's amazing how.
But
I use the phrase crack whore in my last episode of the School of Podcasting because my wife knew somebody who was, well, she would sell her body for crack. Now, in my opinion, in my world, if you sell your body, if you provide sex for money, you are a whore. And apparently the word whore is like really nasty in some people's words. They're like, I can't believe you said crack whore. And I'm like, well, what do you call a prostitute? So it was really interesting that I had some people that are like, whoa, Dave, I got kids in the car and you said crack whore. And I'm like, well, what do you call a it was weird. So I didn't realize that whore was such a.
Here's my philosophy on that. And by the way, you're religious and I'm not. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're the one who has the Christian podcast. I don't, and I'm not religious. I don't go to church. I have zero religious beliefs, but I have very high morals as being a father of five and two grandkids. And I never want to say anything on a podcast or on radio that my grandchild could not hear or my late mother could not hear and be ashamed of me. Right. So I think I would have said crack prostitute if I were you. And that's just me, and I don't mean to be judgmental, but it's really strange when he said the three beers to ride a motorcycle. I don't know, and I don't drink, but I'll have a frozen margarita if I go to Chili's. But I don't keep alcohol in the house. I'm not judgmental about that, but I don't know. There was just something about that just shut me off, and I can understand how you using the crack prostitute, whatever other word you used, would turn some people off. Yeah, I can understand. So I guess being careful about what you're saying out in public and not offending anybody, unless, of course, you want to offend people. And there are people who make podcasts to offend people. I mean, look at, Howard Stern or a lot of the very popular podcasts out there. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But they're going after that audience. Scott right. Smith was not going after that audience. You were not going after that audience when you made your term. So, I mean, if you're going after that audience, hey, I'll get right on there and swear with you. Okay. I will, that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's what I was, if I were going to do a podcast like that, I would do it. I would, I would do it. I have a friend who has a YouTube video and it's, or a YouTube channel. And I don't know what the name of it, but he calls himself the Pope with no hope. And he dresses up as a Pope and he comes on and makes obscene jokes. And it's hysterical to watch. But that's what he's doing and that's what he's setting out to do. But yet if he came out and made obscene, and it's funny to watch, funny to listen to. But if, I were listening to your podcast and you all of a sudden started making obscene jokes about the Pope, I would be very turned off because that's not the market that you're going after.
Right. Awesome.
So this judgmental call that you're saying, why did this guy call me? This judgmental call is wrapping up because I'm going off to a home show after I finish my shower, and I'm going to do psychic soil testing.
Excellent.
At a garden. My friend is going to do soil testing chemically there so people can check the soil and see what, they can grow. But before he does it chemically, I lay my hands on it and I do psychic soil testing and I'm always right. He does the chemical one and then he realizes that, so it must be a miracle.
Absolutely.
Is the only thing I can think of.
Awesome. Well, Michael, thank you so
much. I enjoy your show immensely, guys. Have a great day. I'm going to go finish my shower now.
All right.
But, hey, that's that will do it for this episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach show. Fun-filled and exciting today.
Oh, yeah, it was good. You have some editing in there for sure.
Oh, yeah, lots of and the fact that, I had to have the joy of installing Flash at the last minute. That's always fun. But, interesting stuff. Let me, now the caller's called back.
We'll have to do it next week.
Yeah, next week. I will call you Mr. Caller, when the show is over. I will call you back personally to say, thank you for calling. What was your question? I'll give you a little, my way of saying thank you for.
Well, maybe a little post show. Yeah, do it in the post show.
Okay. Absolutely. So, as always, we are here every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, askthepodcastcoach.com. And, you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 to get $20 off your first month at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Jim, where can we find you at?
Out at theaverageguy.tv.
There you go. Awesome. And next week we'll talk more dirty subjects and we'll find other fun. Maybe we'll have a show that'll just be offensive. Something like that.
Aren't they all that way?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, Christmas is coming up, so that'll be, maybe we'll start talking about perfect gifts for podcasters.
For the podcaster. Yeah, sure.
And what's interesting is Thanksgiving is a really popular day for podcasts. If you want to network with people, do it on Thanksgiving, because once the turkey's done, people are online just going crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Black Friday, for sure.
Absolutely. So thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. I am not nailing it today. We'll be right back.